Why do children lie when we tell them time and time again not to? When we have firm family values around not lying and maybe also tell our children that if you tell the truth, you're going to get into less trouble. Stick around if you recognize this in your household and if you want to know what you can do to make sense of this behavior and how you can encourage more truth-telling. That's what today's episode is about. I'm going to share with you three perspectives that can really help you. First of all, get a better understanding of what's actually going on for your child and practical tips for how you can support your child to tell the truth more of the time. So stay tuned. This episode is going to be a real help if you're recognizing some of these dynamics with your kids. Hi, welcome to the Curious Not Furious podcast. My name is Louise Brooks. I'm a family advisor, parenting coach, and a mom too. You've come to the right place if you're looking to grow yourself a bit more as a parent. If you want to understand what might be underneath some of your child's most unwanted behaviors and how you can lose it less. In this space, we take on the hard questions and I offer inspiration and tips and new perspectives that can really help you in your parenting to become a more joyful parent and feel like a sturdy leader. I cannot wait to delve into today's episode with you. Let's be honest, when we catch our children lying, we will feel triggered in one way or the other. And what will come up for us is some version of how we were looked at and viewed when we were caught lying as kids. It's so baked into our nervous system, that feeling of shame of having been caught lying, that we will project all of that discomfort onto our child. We'll do something else as well. We will do what I call an FFE. We'll do a fast forward era and project about our child that they're going to have a future of becoming habitual liars, pathological liars, in fact, and they're going to get into a lot of trouble. So this is like the perfect storm for us to lose our own grounding, lose our perspective, lose sight of the fact that our child is still learning, and instead fly into reaction mode and end up doing, saying things and judging this behavior in ways that's possibly not so helpful. So what I'd encourage you to do first of all is to take personal inventory of your own lying history. I've done this myself and I don't need to dwell there very long to see that I have absolutely told lies, a lot of them as a kid, both to my parents, to my teachers, to my friends, to my sister, to grandparents, and that my lying behaviors were way more frequent when I was a little kid than they were perhaps when I was in my 20s and what they're like now. So lying is for most of us, and I'm guessing here, you may still be telling as many fibs as you did when you were a kid. And then if you're fine with that, then that's obviously not for me to judge. But my experience tells me that most of us will find that our moral fiber grows stronger the older we get for a number of different reasons. But I can say with absolute certainty that my courage to tell the truth and communicate more honestly what's going on for me is increasing the older I get. But I see truth-telling and courage as two inseparable components in many cases. So if we just look at the fact that we have all had a tendency to lie at one point or another, I think what we all get a sense of is that how human it is and how our child is not deviant or necessarily a potential psychopath because they lie on occasion. It's so important we take inventory of our own lying behaviors and how they've changed over time to really get ourselves into a better perspective and a better state when it comes to dealing with our own children's ways of going about the truth. So overall, I'm of the belief that when it comes to children, we can't really make sense of lying from the perspective of morality. Because kids are largely just emotion and impulse, it makes no sense to think of their lies as a moral issue. It's more a developmental issue. And that shift alone can make a huge difference to how we go about addressing this. So the first perspective I want to share with you is this. For your child to be able to lie, Your child actually has to have reached a fairly sophisticated cognitive ability in order to even be able to lie. And often this happens around the age of 3, more like 4 years old, when a child is beginning to be able to take the perspective of another person, imagine what another person might think about a situation or believe about a situation, and then be able to construct a reality for them to believe in that's counter to what's actually the case. That takes quite a lot of sophistication to be able to do that. And when kids first learn to do that around that age, you might see that there is a lot more lies being produced. It's like, I always akin it to having a new superpower. Hey, I can deceive people now. I can make up stories and I can get people to follow me in my storyline, and I can make people feel emotions through telling them a story, and I can change the plot whenever I want to. This feels great. So when you see kids of that age, around that age, 4, 5, 6 years old, telling fibs, telling stories, it's a good idea to bear in mind that they've just come across a new superpower and they're exercising it. So knowing that, we can afford to respond to this kind of behavior with a little less alarm. In some cases, we can maybe even go along with it. We can maybe even add to their story, and we can create a whole storyline, and we can talk about how, can you imagine if that actually happened? Wouldn't that be amazing? And that could be an elegant way of weaving back out into reality again, where we go along on our child's premise and we exit the lie and we come back out into reality again. It's useful also to remember here that parental attention is one of the greatest reinforcers for our children. So if your child has a sense that your full attention is given whenever they're telling a lie and you're having a particular kind of reaction to it, there can be an element of that being a reinforcer for your child. It can feel like it spurs them on to tell more fibs, even though that's what you're desperately telling them not to do. So what can help here is really paying attention to the kind of attention I give those lies, but also knowing that your child has just got this new superpower. Your child is now loving this effect he or she can have on other people, and coming from a place of knowing what's going on, what's up and what's down, can really help ground you. The second perspective idea that I want to share with you is this. If we want our children to tell the truth, we need to think about how we respond to truth being told. Not just how you see yourself responding to truth being told, but how it might feel and sound and be perceived like from your child's point of view when they're telling you the truth. Let's be honest, when our children bring something to us that they've done wrong, something they've broken, a rule they've broken, there is of course often a reaction in us that's going to be felt by our child. Oh, you didn't knock over that vase. That was my favorite vase. Or you did what? You lied to your teacher? Or what? You haven't done your homework and now you've been given... Are you mad? Right? All of these immediate and knee-jerk reactions are going to come up. And why? Well, because we're human beings too. And that's fine. But we need to be able to take a little bit of inventory if we want our children to be brave enough to tell the truth, in order that we can see where it is that we're maybe discouraging them from actually bringing the truth to us. If our reaction is big, if we respond with anger, with resentment, and we immediately start taking privileges away and punishing them, then we can hopefully better see why it would feel more enticing to tell a fib, to not tell the truth, whenever they've done something they know they're not supposed to do. This is not to say that if we react in this way, then it's okay to lie. It's simply to be able to bring the power back to ourselves a little bit more and understand maybe turn the dials a little bit to make it more likely that our child dares tell the truth to us. So here's an example of that, how that could sound like if we were in fact disappointed about something and had real feelings about something our child had done, and also wanted to encourage the truth at the same time. Your child comes to you, tells you that they've broken your favorite vase. You're really, really fond of that vase. It meant a lot to you. It'd been passed down from your grandmother, and you're really sad to see that vase go, and it's a bit of a shock to you. But your child is telling you honestly that they accidentally knocked it over last time they were playing. As a parent, we don't need to apologize for how we feel. We don't need to downplay the fact that we're sad about that vase going, and we can communicate that, but without the blame and shame. So here's how that could sound. Oh, I'm so, so sad to see that favorite vase of mine go. You know, that meant a lot to me. I got that from my grandmother. It's been passed on. And I was really looking forward to seeing that go to you one day. Oh, I can feel myself getting a little bit angry about this and really sad, to be honest. But listen, I'm grateful you're telling me the truth. Thank you for telling me what actually happened. When we add blame and shame, because that's a way for us to handle our regret that we've lost something that we can't replace, what we end up doing is we actually make it much harder for our children to come to us with the difficult stuff. Many of us have a tendency to do this. This is just how we relieve the discomfort inside of ourselves when we feel many emotions. And that's a learned behavior. And just simply noticing that, yeah, this is exactly what I do whenever I feel regret, whenever I feel hurt or sad. I want to find out whose fault it is, and I want to then lay the blame and shame on them because I can't carry it inside. It's a natural thing to want to do. It's just not helpful. So just simply noticing, yes, that's me, which is the case for 80% of us, unless we begin to work with this, can really shift things for you. A motto that can really help us here is that if we want our children to tell the truth, it's got to always pay off to tell the truth. For us adults, it's slightly different. You know, sometimes telling the truth doesn't mean that we get out of trouble or that we get out of jail. In fact, we sometimes end up in jail if we tell the truth, and there's a consequence. But by and large, where possible, for our children while they're growing up and while they're maturing, it's really good to have as a loose rule that telling the truth should always feel like it's paying off. That would be an encouraging thing for our kids to come to trust, and it would definitely encourage more truth-telling. The third perspective that I want to share with you is this. There is a way of asking our children questions that can set them up more or less for truth-telling. Here's what I mean. Let's say your child is about to go to bed and you ask your child, hey, have you brushed your teeth yet? In that question, your child is now presented with a choice. Do I lie about it or do I tell the truth? For most kids, brushing their teeth is not something they necessarily look forward to, right? If they can at all get out of it, they want to. So telling a lie here to a parent would be a very common way for a child to go about a situation and a question like that. Here's what we can do instead in order to not tempt them to tell a fib in this situation. We could come to them and say, hey, I noticed your toothbrush is still dry. Could you please just brush your teeth and then we could get into bed and read a story? When we come at it from this angle, what we do is we first of all tell our children it's no big deal that you haven't brushed your teeth yet. There's a way around that. And secondly, we bypass that whole temptation of wanting to lie about it by creating a positive forward momentum. Hey, just go and brush your teeth and then we could get into bed. So although you might be thinking, well, my child needs to make the good choice and I shouldn't help my child to tell the truth. The truth is our children often need our help, not our punishment, to choose truth over lies. And where possible, not be given questions that's going to put them in that dilemma of needing to choose truth over lies. We can really help them that way, and it preserves their dignity, it preserves our relationship, and it's a lot easier to cooperate with us as parents when we're not putting them in this moral dilemma time and time again, almost to test them. I hope these three perspectives are helpful to you, and you might want to share this episode with a friend who you think could maybe benefit from taking a step back, doing personal inventory, and maybe getting a different perspective on things when they feel a bit triggered about their child's tendency to lie. Especially where lying is concerned, it's a really good idea to stay curious instead of furious, and you'll see that you have a little bit more choice as to how you can respond. I wish you a wonderful day, and I look forward to connecting with you again very soon. Bye.